الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق البعيد، فاطر السماوات والأرضين، والصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين، حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتخبين المنتجبين البيانين، ولعنة الله الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. We have been discussing this classification of the Vajra Path in prayers. And I told you that prayers itself is Vajibun Asli, Vajibun Asli, whereas this list of Vajibs, these 11 things are Vajibatun Sab'iyya, dependent Vajibs. They all themselves originally are not Vajib, but they become Vajib depending on the prayers, because they are resting and depending on the prayer. Because of the prayers, it becomes wajib. So that's why we call them wajibatun tabiyya. We already discussed till number 7, and number 8 is the jahr. Jahr means loud voice, showing your jawhar salt. And this is a wajib for men, and that is also applicable only in the jahriya prayers. We have two kinds of prayers. Some prayers are jahriya, that means it's wajib to read Surah Al-Fatiha and the next surah with a loud voice. Whereas the other kinds of prayers are called ikhfatiya, and the ikhfatiya prayers are the ones where it is not allowed for a person to read the hamd and the next surah with a loud voice. Those prayers are called Fatiha. Recited like in a whisper style, whereas the jahri are those of the prayers in which the hamd and surah are recited loud. So in the jahriya prayers, it means that we have to, in the jahriya prayers, what it means is that we have to read the hamd and surah. We have to read it loud with jahr. Jahr means a loud voice. How much loud is the criteria? How much is determined by the jawhar saut? Jawhar saut means the essence of your voice should be known. Like I'm speaking right now, the jawhar of the saut is known and understood by the listeners. So you can tell by listening to my regular style of talking right now that whether my voice is thick or thin, because I'm speaking loud. But if I start speaking with a whisper style, like, you don't know whether I'm a man or a woman. You have no clue to understand whether my voice is thick or it's thin, because the jawhar and essence of my voice is not clear. So this is the difference between loud and jahr and ikhfa, loud and otherwise. So a loud voice is a voice where the jawhar and essence of the sound is visible, is clear for the listener. So he can determine that whether you are a man or a woman, he can determine easily whether your voice is thick or thin. But if you are talking in a dispersed style of talking, you know, it's really hard for a person to determine what is the Jauhar of the thought is not clear. So what is wajib is that in the Jahriya prayers that you should read the Hamd and the next surah with a loud voice showing the Jauhar of your voice. But this is wajib for men only. For the women, it's, you know, they have a choice to do that if they are alone or if there are only mahram people around them, they can read it loud. But otherwise, it's not wajib. If there are non-mahram people available, it's not wajib on them to read with a loud voice. They should read it slow, you know. So this is for something which is applicable for men only. And the ikhfaat means whisper style of talking, which I just explained. It does not show the jawhar of your salt, the essence of your voice. So no one can understand whether your voice is thick or your voice is thin. It cannot be understood by the whisper. So ikhfaat is wajib to exercise the third and the fourth rak'at. So the third and fourth rak'at means the tasbihat al-arba, subhanallah wa alhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallah wa Allahu akbar. We call them at-tasbihat al-arba'a, the four tasbihs. So this thing in the third and fourth rak'at has to be recited with the ikhfaat, that means whisper style of the voice, like this way. You cannot read it loud, you cannot say subhanallah wa hamdulillah, you cannot say that. Intentionally reading Jahriya prayers, like where the Fatiha and the next surah is wajib for the men to read it loud. If intentionally you read it in the whisper style of voice, which is a part, then your prayers will be batil. But if you unintentionally ignore it, it's a non-pillar wajib. I'm not going to make your prayers batil because it's a non-pillar wajib. It's not a pillar wajib. Wajib is there, rukni. Now, ikhfaat is likewise similar to jahl. So if you intentionally read like tasbihat al-arba, subhanallah wa alhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wa Allahu akbar in the third and the fourth rakat, you intentionally read that tasbihat al-arba with ikhfaat, like a whisper style of talk, then you're intentionally doing you do this with jahl loudly. You read the tasbihat al-arba in third and fourth rakat with loud voice intentionally, your prayer will be batil. Unintentionally, you read it loud, it's not batil. As soon as you remember, just after that, no need to repeat the previous segment that you said loud. After that, as soon as you recall, just now start saying it slowly with the whisper style of talk of ikhfaat. And ikhfaat in the Zuhrayn except in Basmala. So in the entire Zuhr and entire Asr prayers, it is wajib on us to say the whole. We say it's wajib to say even the Fatiha and the next surah and the first rakat and the Fatiha and the next surah and the second rakat. The third and fourth are always ikhfaati. They're always whisper style of talk in every prayer. Third and fourth, even in Maghrib and Isha, is ikhfaat, whisper style of talk. But in the Zuhrayn prayers, even in the first and second rakat, the Hamd and Surah has to be done with ikhfaat, like the whisper style of reading it. Not with the jahr, not with the loud voice. Except the basmala. This is an exception. Basmala means Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the abbreviation in Arabic for basmala. So except for Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the Zuhur and Asr prayers, you can say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim loud. Actually, it is mustahab. And it's also the sign of a mu'min. Al-jahl bi bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is one of those five signs which are mentioned. You know, a mu'min has those five signs, you know. One of those five signs is that he reads his bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim loud. Some of the other sects of Islam do not do that. But this is the sign of the Isna Ashari sect, that in our sect, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is recited loud in every prayers, whether the prayers is ikhfaati, ikhfaatiyya or jahriya. In both we read Bismillah loud always. The 11th wajib in tawheed, the dependent wajib is correct qira'at for each salah. The qira'at should be, of course, this is also a dependent wajib. Because of the prayers we have to correct our qira'at. So, because we need to read Quran in our prayers, so we need to learn the qiraat also, so that our qiraat is correct, our recitation is correct. Otherwise, intentional negligence towards this wajib will make our prayers batil. Everybody should learn that. Unless if somebody is unable to learn, if somebody is naturally unable to learn, you know, like Bilal. Bilal Habashi was unable to say Sheen. So he used to say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah instead of Ashhadu. He was unable to say that. So if you are unable to say, then it's not your obligation, because you are not able to do that. But if you are able to say, then you have to learn it and say it correctly. When someone complained to the Holy Prophet that, well, you always ask him, Bilal, to say the Quran, you know, we are Arabs, we can say it in a better way. Prophet said that, you know, Seen of Bilal is Sheen of Allah. The Seen of Bilal is Sheen in the eye of Allah. So, it's if you are unable, then it's okay. But everybody is able, except very few people who belong to certain specific background who are unable to learn. There are very few people only. Now the final segments of our presentation, we have the discussion of ahkam and adab and hikam and asrar. These are the ahkam. We have four kinds of teachings. One are the ahkam, which are the rulings of the Sharia, and then we have the adab, that means the etiquettes. And then we have the hikam, which is the plural of hikmah. Hikmat means wisdom. Hikam means wisdoms, it's the plural. We have certain wisdoms of every ruling in Islam, and we have certain etiquettes for the rulings in Islam. And then we have asrar, that means the secrets. This is related to the batin, the hidden reality. Everything has a batin. Every zahir and apparent existence has a batin hidden behind it that we cannot see. So Islamic teachings are like this. We have ahkam and adab and hikam and asrar. Ahkam are taken from the wahi directly. The Prophet informed us, he received it, he informed us without any change. No one has the right to change the hukum. You know, halal Muhammadin halal ila yawm al-qiyamah wa haramu haramun ila yawm al-qiyamah. The halal of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to be halal till the day of judgment, and what he mentioned to be haram will stay as haram till the day of judgment. No one can alter his teachings, which are derived from the wahi and revelation. So those are the ahkam that the Prophet learned. وَمَا يَمْتَقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ Quran has already said, he doesn't speak out of his desire. It's the revelation that is revealed on him. So, and then we have the adab, that means the etiquettes. Adab, I mentioned this point in the Ramadan lectures in the previous years. We usually talk about asrar and adab and hikam of different rulings each year. Since I think last 3 or 4 years we've been doing that. So those of you who are there, you know you remember the definitions. But just a quick, now when we are talking about Salat, we need to, of course, talk about Salat also from that perspective. It is very important. Almost every arif mujtahid of our history, almost all the ulama write down books on the prayers. You can say it's a tradition. And it's something actually beyond tradition, because the prayers is the amud of the religion, it's the pillar of the religion. When you are reaching such a high level, you cannot reach the high level without the prayers. So everyone focuses on the prayers. Everyone has a lot to say about prayers. Certain subjects of Islam, you find less information available, like Islamic finance, Islamic economics. Imam Baqir Sadr Rahmatullah was the first one in our history who wrote the first book, which serves as a foundation. And now Alhamdulillah, several other very good books are written by different mujtahids, but his book serves still serves as the foundation. So, and so if you are talking about Islamic financial system, we have very less information, very less research work done, as a matter of fact. Less research work done on that subject. So certain subjects we have less research work done. Maybe because we didn't have a government before the Islamic government in Iran. We never had a government, we never required those things. Like when we were studying, you know, our teachers, our mujtahids, when we used to talk about Kitab al-Riqiyya. Kitab al-Riqiyya in our fiqh is a chapter about the slaves, slavery in Islam. We call it Kitab al-Riqiyya. So when we were studying and we reached the chapter of Riq in Arabic, which is about the slavery, Islam abandoned slavery, which was the tradition of Jahiliyyah and ignorance times. Islam considers selling of a human being and buying of a human being as haram. So our mujtahids themselves, they just skip the chapter. They don't teach us because they say it's not relevant. It's not relevant today. You don't find any application today. So we have to learn, if we want to learn about the Kitab al-Ruqiyya and the rulings related to that, we need to find some specific tutors and teachers to learn privately, because there is no open lesson going on in the Hawza about the details of that book. Because they usually skip it, because there is no application. Same is the case about certain other chapters, because political affairs, financial matters of Islam, there was no application because there wasn't a government available. So that's the reason why we find certain things people did not hear. So just because, but they don't have the right to say it's not part of Islam, just because you did not hear, it doesn't mean it was not part of Islam. You never heard that. There was a very legitimate reason, because we never had a government. So there was no, less research was being done on certain subjects because of those political and social reasons. So likewise, what I was talking about is that certain subjects are, we have a lot of research done, and Salah is one of those. Almost every Arif Mujtahid has a book written on Salah. He could never have reached those levels without the Salah. But we have a lot to say. If you open up, there are abundant books of Salah and Asrar and Secrets of Salah written by so many of the Urafa. So you can find whole huge, huge information available on that subject. This is a summary of what we should be learning further about. Apart from the ahkam, which are already taught by Rasulullah, it's available. Then we have the adab. Adab is the adab and etiquette is something which is found in the soul of the person. So basful musalli. And when musalli, you are the person who is praying, is called musalli. So basfa musalli, that means that sifat and attribute of a musalli. Adab and etiquette are the attribute of yours. What attributes you have, what sifat you have in your soul, this would determine the adab. So, like if you have taqwa as a sifat in your soul, so then you have the adab. If you don't have taqwa, you don't have the adab. So adab are related to the sifat of your soul. So, and then hikmats and the wisdoms are, you know, al-ghayatul mutarattibatu ala al-fi'l. That's the definition of hikmat and wisdom. That means the goals which are achieved upon doing the worship. When you do a worship, there's a goal that you are, there's an objective that you are pursuing. What is that objective and goal? Like Prophet has said in his hadith, as-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. So this mi'raj and ascension of a mu'min is the objective which we are pursuing. When we are praying, we are pursuing the goal of reaching the mi'raj and ascension. So this is the wisdom behind the teaching. The wisdom is the ghayat, that is the goal that we are pursuing. In this case of the prayers, the goal is defined by the Prophet. We pray so that we can reach the mi'raj and ascension. Then we have asrar and secrets, which is the batin of the prayers. So the batin of everything is the reality of that thing. It's always wise for a person to focus on the reality and batin and hidden secret instead of focusing on the bahir and apparent face and apparent existence of things. Batin is deceptive. Things appear to be in a different form. Their realities are different. So it's always wise for a person to focus on the batin. Prophet had prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma alim ala shi'a, kama hiya. Oh my Lord, make me see the things the way they are. That is not the way they look, not the way they seem to be, in the real form. Everything has a real form. So, just like what Imam Sajjad alayhi salam showed to his companion between his two fingers.